You're listening to All Politics is Local in Massachusetts on New England's News and Talk Radio 830 WCRN. Once again, here's your hosts, John Featherston and Terry Hendrick.
Good morning. You're tuned to All Politics is Local on WCRN 830. He's Terry Hendricks. Good morning. I'm John Featherston. A couple of political candidates. Hillary Rodham Clinton insisted that Islam is not our adversary. Marco Rubio calls this is a civilization struggle, warning about the dangers of Islamic terror groups such as ISIS. Marco Rubio, presidential candidate, has said the world is in a battle between values of freedom and liberty and radical Islamic terror. We're joined on the phone from Toronto, Canada, by our special guest, Raheel Raja. Thank you so much for your gracious giving of your time this morning, Raheel.
It's my pleasure.
She is the author of Their Jihad, Not My Jihad. And right before we went to the break, we were talking about her movement that she's got up on Facebook right now, which is the Muslim Reform Movement. Why don't we pick back up on that conversation a little bit?
Well, thank you. As I said, you know, we feel the tipping point has been reached for Muslims like us who want to live peacefully in the 21st century. And so we got together and we, decided that we had two imams in our group as well, because we want to work from within the faith, because it is from within the faith that people are radicalized. So it's very important to have our work done from within the faith. We are practicing observant Muslims, and our declaration focuses on peace, national security, counterterrorism, and foreign policy, on human rights, women's rights, and minority rights, and secular governance, which is freedom of speech and religion, and separation of mosque and state. And we've worked 2 days very, very intensely to put together this declaration. All of us signed off and agreed. We had a press conference in which we launched this. And as I said, the first thing we did is take our declaration and post it on the door of the Saudi-funded mosque in Washington to threats and them telling us that they were going to call the police. But, this is was our first step to reclaim our faith, because this has been, it's been stolen from us. It has been reinterpreted and mutated by the extremists. Therefore, we differentiate between Islam as a spiritual journey and Islamism, which is political Islam, radical politicized ideology like communism and fascism, which were fought without any political correctness by the whole world. But of course, when it comes to anything with the word Islam in it, people are holding back.
Well, let's pick up on that a little bit, because I think it's a good segue into my question on the Council on American-Islamic Relations, better known as CARE. Our current White House seems to hide behind CARE, my words, quite a bit, and they have CARE be the spokesman for the Islamic movement, dare I say. What are your thoughts with that? Because I don't think CARE speaks for the entire Muslim, religion.
They definitely don't. They would like to say that they have a large following and that they speak for everyone. They absolutely do not. The first thing when we start a conversation about Muslims is to understand that this is a very diverse community, and no one person speaks or no one organization speaks for everyone. CARE, on the other hand, just wallows in victim ideology, in victimology, I call it. And they are promoting this Islamophobia industry on the backs of, petrodollars. They love to play the victim card. Now, they also had a press conference recently, and they do denounce terrorism, but not once do they denounce the issues that lead to terrorism, which is against armed jihad. They denounce terror in the name of Islam, but they never speak about the Sharia ideology that leads to the radicalization of these people. So there is, they play a game, and apparently a very effective game, because as you said, that the White House has their ear. And we are not the people, the reform-minded Muslims who are loyal to the country and who are fighting this frontline battle. We are not invited to the table for discussions, but they are. And because they are invited to the table, we are blocked out. So you know, it depends on who the leadership is listening to. So, again, I come back to the documentary By the Numbers. One of the reasons this was put together is that it is education for those who are denying there's a problem and for those who think that all Muslims are terrorists. So this is a balanced line that we walk to say, yes, we have a problem, and we can take care of it once you realize what the numbers are.
What is the agenda of CARE, in your humble opinion?
Oh, it is to promote their own subversive agendas. It is to get into places of power, which they have done very well. So if you go back to the mandate of the Muslim Brotherhood, they have a manifesto. It's very clear. And again, these are not my words, but if you read the manifesto of the Muslim Brotherhood, they are not an overtly violent organization. Their mandate is that you have to infiltrate the West. You have to get in. You have to become like them. And then you have to weaken them from inside. And what do we see around us? That is exactly what the work that these organizations are doing for them. So most of the Islamist organizations are promoting the agenda of either the Muslim Brotherhood or of Al-Qaeda and their ilk, or in terms of Iran, the Khomeiniist agenda, none of which are talking about, you know, love your neighbor, or, you know, the way you're living in the West, learn to work with the, you know, integrate and become part of it and, you know, respect your neighbors. The agenda is very, very similar for all of them. It just comes from different perspectives. And that is, many of these people want to impose Sharia law in the West. They want to keep the concept, the notion of armed jihad alive. They don't support gender equality or separation of mosque and state. And this is what we are demanding in our Muslim Reform Movement Declaration. We want to follow the United Nations Charter for Universal Human Rights. And we want to say this is what is needed.
Well, let me ask you the question. It's not an easy question to ask. You know, we're broadcasting from central Massachusetts, Boston, you know, the home of the Boston Marathon bombings, God forbid.
Yes.
And then San Bernardino. Where is the outrage from the Muslim community to come out and speak out against those types of events? Is it more that they're afraid to come out and speak out against it? Because, you know, like Terry mentioned earlier, you know, we know a lot of Muslims and they're all outraged by it. But there hasn't been the huge condemning it. Is it more because they're afraid of it? They don't have the proper vehicle to get out and talk about it? I mean, what are your thoughts?
Well, there's a number of reasons. One, they are afraid, maybe because, you know, there is always a fear of a backlash. But a large number of them have also been manipulated and brainwashed into believing that they are the victims. I mean, I can't begin to tell you how ironical it is that there is a terrorist attack and the Muslims suddenly become the victims. And this is what CARE promotes. You know, this is such a twisted ideology that this terrorism attack has taken place, but God forbid that, you know, Muslims have any kind of issue. So the first thing that they start telling people is, oh, there shouldn't be a backlash. And so they play on this victim ideology. And many, many educated Muslims in America, they get sucked in by this idea that, you know, if we say anything about this, then we are going to also be targeted. And this is not what normally happens. You know, when people speak out, I mean, I've been speaking out for 25 years, people respect you because they want to hear the truth. And so it comes back again to this, you know, By the Numbers, our reform movement. This is all out there, truth. We have nothing to hide. We need accountability and transparency. But organizations like CARE are telling the Muslim masses, they're telling the ordinary 9-to-5 Muslims, you know, who are concerned and they see this, they're telling them, you know, don't speak out, don't necessarily put yourself in a position where you could become a target. So this industry of victimology is the reason why many Muslims don't speak out, because they're being told.
We're joined on the phone by Raheel Raja, the author of Their Jihad, Not My Jihad. We're going to ask her to hang over for one more break, because we're enjoying the conversation. If you want to join the conversation, give us a call, 508-871-7000. You're tuned to All Politics is Local in Massachusetts on WCRN 830.
You're listening to All Politics is Local in Massachusetts on New England's News and Talk Radio 830 WCRN. Once again, here's your hosts, John Featherston and Terry Hendricks.
Good morning. You're tuned to All Politics is Local here on WCRN 830 on the last Sunday morning of 2015. He's Terry Hendricks. I'm John Featherston. Good morning. We've been joined on the phone for almost the last hour by Raheel Raja, who is a leading expert on an opponent of terrorism in the name of Islam, the author of the book Their Jihad, Not My Jihad. We're trying to get her back on the phone as we speak because we're going to pick up the conversation a little bit about CARE and her new documentary that is on the web. She is back on the phone. Raheel, thank you for being so gracious with your time this morning. We promise we'll let you go at the bottom of the hour, but the conversation...
I hope you're buying me breakfast.
I'm going to buy you dinner too, because you've been a great guest, and thank you so much. Before we do run out of time, how do people learn more about you? You know, give out a website or give out some contact information.
Yes, I'm president of the Council for Muslims Facing Tomorrow. The website is www.muslimsfacingtomorrow.com. And then the Muslim Reform Movement Facebook page is open to public as well. And my own website, all you have to do is Google my name and you'll get everything you ever wanted to or maybe not didn't want to know about me.
Well, you've been a wonderful guest, and I think you've opened up a lot of eyes this morning. My friend and co-host here, Terry Hendricks, has a couple questions that he wants to follow up with you on the CARE organization.
Yeah, a couple things. I guess first, do you think there are any direct links between CARE and terrorist organizations, either in the United States or other parts of the world?
Well, you know what? You just have to Google them and you'll find, again, everything you need to know. I go by the fact that the United Arab Emirates has listed them as a terrorist organization. Yeah. And, you know, being an Arab country, I think that's enough for us to at least have a red light and you know, do our own research into them.
Yeah, one of the earlier statements you'd said about the Muslim Brotherhood, where one of their goals is to become familiar with the West and eventually infiltrate and then become in a position of power. And when you were saying that, one name came to mind, and it's Barack Hussein Obama. And I wonder, if I look at his background, of course, some people say that he's Muslim, and I don't know the answer to that. And I'm not sure he's ever shared whether he is or isn't, but he certainly grew up in a Muslim environment. I think his stepfather was Muslim. I think his father was a Muslim. And so he grew up in Indonesia. And so he, from my perspective, or at least from the facts, I would think would be very familiar with most aspects of Islam. And whether he is actually Islamist or not, that's probably a debate we may not know the answer to in the near future, but he certainly should be familiar with it. And why do you think he's basically taking a back seat to leadership? Because something on the order of 57% of Americans believe he's not doing a good job of handling terrorism at all.
Well, I think what is more important at this point in time is the people who surround him. And I think what Americans need to do is take a long, hard look at the advisors, the inner circle of the White House. You know, there's every year in Ramadan, the month of fasting, there is a White House iftar. And we're never invited to that. We have to check and see who are the people who are invited to that. And why is it that the modern progressive liberal Muslims are not part of that event? You have to investigate. They need to Google these names and look and see who are these people and get into their background. Hillary Clinton's aide, they need to check that out and see who they are, what their history is.
Valerie Jarrett.
Yes. While your leaders themselves may not be, have any evil intentions, and I hope that they don't, but I think it's important to see who are the people who advise you, who you are surrounded by, because, you know, the messaging obviously then is important. So, and then write letters, write letters of protest, and put pressure on the White House to make the table fair and balanced by those who are speaking out against the radical Islamist ideology, even though he isn't doing it himself. So, you know, these are the important factors. This is how we bring about change in a liberal democracy. And I think that we'll see the results of that soon.
Well, you know, what I fear is America, Canada, all of Europe, you know, very proud nations. We're all very proud. And I'd like to think that, you know, we do love our neighbors and we do try to work together. But when a nation or multiple nations are fearful and they don't have, you know, the credibility of their leaders leading them in this fight, Things could go bad real, you know, God forbid another terrorist attack happens on American soil or over in Europe. The public's not going to stand for it anymore. And some people say that that's by design, that they want to start a world war. They want to start a revolution, that some leaders turn a blind eye to it to stir the pot and make it a more combustible pot. You know, you bring up, you know, the ties to money with oil. I think it's real easy. Mm-hmm. You cut that off, you cut the problem out. It's not that
Absolutely.
Hard. It's not that hard. So where
especially when you know that you have the possibility of your own oil. If only you would allow these pipelines to exist. You know, Canada and America between them could have enough that they could cut off.
Well, you bring up a great point. You know, Obama doesn't want the pipeline to exist, but if we did, we could cut ourselves off from foreign oil. So is there a conspiracy going on behind the scenes when most of the public is watching reality television and nobody wants to identify that there is a conspiracy going on? I'm not a conspiracy theorist type person.
Neither am I. And you know, I'm not a politician. I could never be one because I think I address the truth too much face on. And, you know, I'm essentially, you know, a grassroots activist in that sense. But, you know, we have ways in which we can pressure our leadership. And definitely I'm not for conspiracy theories because, God, I couldn't sleep at night if I had started thinking about, you know, all those inner wheels within wheels. But I think that the problem, if we look at it, it's quite clear. It's in our face. We know where the denial is coming from. We know that there needs to be some drastic change, and the public can ask for that change. And you're absolutely right. These attacks are going to continue until and unless we stand up and name the problem, claim the problem, start to bring about change, and start to be honest in our discourse. You know, who are we appeasing? Why are we being politically correct? We have to be able to hold loyalty to our own country and look at the safety and security of the lands in which we live, regardless of personal feelings, regardless of other relationships. To me, that is a first priority. So, you know, in the end, as my son says, we just say, may the force be with you.
There you go. I mean, Star Wars solves all most times. It really, really does. But once again, tell people about your Facebook movement that you've got going on. Once again, tell people about your documentary because we only have a couple minutes left here on All Politics is Local.
Thank you. The documentary is called By the Numbers, and the Muslim Reform Movement is a Facebook page. It's just very open to everybody. If you Google By the Numbers, you'll go to the website of the Clarion Project, and they're the ones who have produced this. My website is www.muslimsfacingtomorrow.com. You can get in touch with me if there's still any questions that are left pending. And, you know, I take this opportunity to wish all of you a very, very happy New Year. Let's hope there's a change. Let's hope there's peace. Let's hope there's awareness and we can start addressing the problems head on.
Well, you've been listening to Raheel Raja. She's been a wonderful guest. Thank you so much, Raheel. Happy New Year you. And hopefully we can have you on again in the near future.
I would love that. Thank you.
And are you coming to Boston soon?
I may. I may be there in February.
Well, I tell you what, let John and I know, and we'll do better than breakfast. We'll take you out to a nice dinner.
Thank you. I would love that.
Thank you, Raheel.
Lots to talk about. Take care. Have a great
Happy
day.
New Year.
Have a great day.
All right, there you go. I mean, she's been an interesting guest. She was gracious enough to give us an hour of her time to talk about it. I think she brings up some great points. If you want to join the conversation, give us a call, 508-871-7000. That's 508-871-7000. Real quick, Terry, I mean, what were your thoughts?
Well, I think we need more people like her speaking out. Now, I don't know, maybe it doesn't make as good a news story to have somebody talking sense and talking peace. You know, it's a lot more interesting if you've got somebody basically talking about the great Satan and the little Satan. It's better drama, stirring people up in the wrong way. You know, people like listening to Donald Trump and keep all Muslims out of the country and throw the ones that are here out and things like that. That's all interesting dialogue, but it's not real. It's not fair.
Right.
So, you know, to have someone like Ms. Raja talking sense is refreshing.
It is refreshing. You're tuned to All Politics is Local here on WCRN 830. He's Terry Hendricks. I'm John Featherston. When we get back, we're going to talk more about Massachusetts state politics. You're tuned to All Politics is Local here on WCRN. We're going to break for CBS News, and we'll be back.
Let's return to All Politics is Local in Massachusetts on New England's News and Talk Radio, WCRN. Once again, here's your hosts, John Featherston and Terry Hendricks.
Good Sunday morning on this last Sunday morning of 2015. You're tuned to All Politics is Local on WCRN 830. That distinguished man right there, that's Terry Hendricks. I'm John Featherston, wishing you an early Happy New Year. And 2015 is over, Terry. 2016 will decide the new president of the United States. But in the meantime, we've got to get through some more presidential debates. You know, the media hiding Hillary Clinton on a Saturday evening versus the Republicans going on prime time. The Republican debates are outdrawing the Democrat debates by five times the number of viewers. It's interesting that they, in my words, that they're hiding Hillary on Saturday night TV so she can't do her missteps. But like I said, we're going to decide the president. Donald Trump is coming to New Hampshire tomorrow night. That should be a spectacle, as they often are. Donald Trump talking about Hillary Clinton going to the bathroom and some people say using inappropriate words. I find it interesting that Donald Trump is trying to engage Bill Clinton into the political fight. It's either political genius or stupidity. I'm not sure which one it is yet. What are your thoughts?
Well, I don't know. Would you like Bill Clinton to be the first lady, first man, whatever, you know, in these days of transgender or whatever?
I'd like to be invited to the parties at the White House, I think. But do I want Bill Clinton to be my first lady?
That'd be a quick way for a divorce, probably.
But it's going to be interesting. You know, they're bringing Bill out from, you know, the doldrums, and he's getting involved in the campaign. I think Hillary's looking for a fight she can't win. It's going to be interesting. And like I said, you know, I've made no secret that I'm not a Trump supporter. I appreciate the conversation that he's brought forth, and you know, he's definitely stirred the pot. I worry about, you know, that Trump isn't going to be presidential enough to be presidential. If you want to join the conversation, give us a call, 508-871-7000. That's 508-871-7000. But, you know, as the candidates wilt away, Lindsey Graham got out of the race. I don't think he was ever really in it. But, you know, after Iowa, coming up in just a couple weeks, and then right behind it, New Hampshire, the field is going to start to whittle, and it's going to be more of Hillary and Trump. I find it interesting that, you know, a newspaper can run a cartoon ad about Ted Cruz and, you know, make the, call his kids monkeys. You couldn't do that with other people in office right now. I mean,
You mean our standing president?
Yeah, absolutely. You couldn't get away with that.
You think there'd be a liberal outrage over that?
I think there would be, and there is that double standard in the media, I think, that we need to talk about.
Well, I always thought that, you know, children of politicians, whatever, are pretty much off limits. I know they...
As should spouses be as well.
Yeah, and they, you know, they picked on, well, the exception of, you know, Bill and Hillary Clinton, of course, because they're both in the limelight. They're in the fray. But, you know, I know they picked on the Bush girls a little bit, but not too much. You know, Amy Carter, they pretty much left her alone for obvious reasons. And you know, generally, you know, the press has been kind to children and kind to spouses for, I think, good reasons. But this is becoming kind of a nasty race, I think. You know, talking about Hillary Clinton, and I don't care what she does in the bathroom, you know, really. Having the children, and somebody was making fun of Ben Carson's, why Candy Carson's clothing and appearance.
Right.
And really, come on. We should be better than that. We should have better politicians. We should have better media than that.
Well, I think it's the social media piece that we live in nowadays. People put stuff up on Twitter and Facebook, and it's no longer fact-checked. It's no longer vetted. It's instantaneous. Don't let the truth get in the way of a good story. And I think that's the downside to, you know, social media can be a wonderful thing, but it can also be a very nasty thing. And, you know, people live and die, you know, the networks, NBC, CBS, ABC, they live by Donald Trump's tweets. How do we even know that's Donald Trump on the other side pushing the buttons? We don't know that.
Well, it probably is, but yeah.
But you don't know.
But the thing about Donald Trump
would have to have somebody doing that for him.
Oh, maybe, maybe not. But if you think about all the social media, it's a mask because, you know, if you're tweeting out something, who knows who it really is? To get a Facebook page or to have a Twitter account, really, it's easy to mask it because a lot of these people have incendiary and basically nasty things to say about people. You know, you put them face to face with whoever they're talking about, they wouldn't say one word.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, they wouldn't. Yeah, they would back down. You know, Terry and I are both card-carrying members of the Republican Party. I mean, different varying degrees, and only in Massachusetts could somebody ever be or really be called a rhino. I mean, a Republican is a Republican, much like I think a Democrat is a Democrat. But, you know, the Republican Party is worried about Donald Trump.
Yeah.
George Will has recently said the Republican Party can't survive a Donald Trump victory. I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think the Republican Party needs to change. Now, do they need to change to Trumpism? I don't think so. So this is a bit of a wake-up call. And even the Republican Party, after Mitt Romney lost the presidential election, almost 4 years ago or 3 years ago, they took a hard look at themselves. But were they really changed or not? I don't know. I know the Mass GOP has certainly become a lot better than it used to be. You and I remember when you ran for office about 3 years ago, and dealing with the Mass GOP was a bit of a challenge. And we were in there not too long ago, and refreshing with the level of support and professionalism.
Well, I would say the organization is much more professionalism, but I think the party still has a couple of different. They don't really know what they are, fractions. I mean, we've had articles written about, you know, Charlie Baker should be more like Deval Patrick, and
really,
Mitt Romney was a rhino. I mean, I invoke the Reagan rule: never speak ill of another Republican in public. But hey, we're joined on the phone by Carrie. Good morning, Carrie.
Hey, it's Gary with a G.
Oh, hey, good morning. How are you? Thank you. Sorry about that.
Good. How you guys doing today?
Hey, good. Thanks for calling in. What's on your mind this Sunday morning?
Well, you know, you mentioned Baker and a few things like that. I got to tell you, you know, I like him, and I like him because I don't hear a whole lot about him. And when I do hear about him, it seems as though he's trying to get something done or make something a little bit better for the people in the state. He doesn't seem like a very self-serving kind of a governor. He doesn't really like and seek out the limelight every second he can. He's not on TV every other day. But, you know, he's... I think he's in that position where I think he'll be as popular, and I think he is more popular even than Bill Weld, isn't he?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Terry and I both know him on a personal level. He's a very genuinely nice guy. He's a nice guy who's a great manager. You know, and like I said, I'm one of his biggest fans. I don't agree with him everything politically, but the thing I do like about him at the end of the day is that he cares about people, and you can see it in the way that he's running the state. So, I mean,
It just seems to me as though we want. Look at the national political scene. People don't want. They're not really too into these career politicians, and the only times they seem to be is if these career politicians really want to make some kind of monumental change. You could say that about Sanders. You could say that about Trump. Trump's not an insider. You could say that, I'm sorry, about Cruz. These guys are insiders. It doesn't matter. If he's held elected office, you're an insider. But even a guy like Trump is going to have trouble with an insider that just wants to change things. I think that after the past, 10, 15 years we have seen in America, a guy like Baker is just very refreshing. I'd love to see him just continue right on. You can't be a single-issue voter. You can't be you got to be out there. You got to look at that. My motto is always, who do I agree with 51% of the time? Because if I'm looking for the perfect guy, it's probably me, right?
There you go. Hey, when are you? Is your name on the ballot for the next election? Can we vote for you?
Not yet, but you can write me in, man.
Charlie's been in office now just about 50 weeks.
Yeah,
I think 50 weeks tomorrow, actually, and he's done a pretty good job. He's, of course, he's been going uphill all the way with the MBTA, the budget process, DCF, and a whole slew of things that have really do need a lot of good attention. And you could say, well, he didn't get this done, didn't get that done, but fair.
But I mean, He's gonna continue. You know what he's fighting is the norm, and I think anyone that's fighting the norm, any rational person, that doesn't really matter at this point if you're Democrat, Republican, or what you identify as. Let's just all identify as Americans, and maybe take a quick reread of the Constitution and that kind of stuff, and just say, who really is gonna keep us free? Who really cares about Gary and freedom, and who cares about your freedom, and who cares about those kind of things? And we've just seen, I think, since Bush, and I'm a pretty conservative guy, not a huge fan of Bush. I mean, he was okay. I voted for him, but nothing great. He turned out to be that same type of an establishment. Hang on, let me have a stimulus. Let me do this. Too big to fail. All these catchphrases. I think we all just get wrapped up in them, and I think it's refreshing to see a guy like Baker that he's fighting the fight. He's going to have to fight it, and he won't get everything he wants, but I think he just keeps on pushing. He had my vote, and he'll continue to have it. I like the guy.
Hey, Gary.
I know he's not that conservative a guy either, but hey.
Hey, Gary, we got to go to a quick break, but I'm going to hold you over if you've got time, and we'll pick up the conversation on the other side. You're tuned to All Politics is Local here on WCRN. Happy New Year. He's Terry Hendricks. I'm John Featherston, and Gary's hanging on the phone. We'll pick it up after the break. You're tuned to All Politics is Local on WCRN 830.
You're listening to All Politics is Local in Massachusetts on New England's News and Talk Radio 830 WCRN. Once again, here's your hosts, John Featherston and Terry Hendrick.
It's a heartache, nothing but a heartache, hits you when it's too late. Hits you when you're down.
Good Sunday morning. You're tuned to All Politics is Local here on WCRN 830. He's Terry Hendricks. I'm John Featherston. And we're joined on the phone by Gary and Upton. Hey, Gary.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey, thanks for hanging on over the break.
Not a problem.
A couple questions I want to ask you, because, I mean, you seem to be sensible. I mean, you like Charlie Baker, but he's not perfect, but you really like the job that he's doing. On the national level, I mean, what are your thoughts? Who's your reasonable candidate on the national level?
It's so difficult. I mean, to be honest with you, I guess the right guy isn't on the stage, and
I couldn't agree more with that statement.
But I guess if we're going to talk, I'd like to see a guy like Gowdy out there. I'd like to, to see somebody that opens his mouth. He's a politician, and when he speaks politics, he speaks, the Constitution. He speaks freedom. He speaks rights. He speaks that type of stuff. I don't see a whole lot of that. I don't know.
I don't know if you just saw Gowdy endorse Rubio over the weekend.
I know, which is kind of crazy. It is. And that's what I mean when I say they're all insiders. Even the ones that we perceive as not to be insiders, if they're in there, they're still in that machine. As far as to answer your question, I'm probably gonna in the primary go. I'd like to go for Ron Paul, but some of his isolationist ways are too much for me. Although I'm not a big war guy, but I do think that there is a point where we do have to say, hey, what's going on over there? But I'm probably going to go Cruz. I think that's where I am at right now.
That does seem to be a popular Massachusetts selection right now.
Yeah. Trump is, look, he says a lot of stuff that we all say sitting outside around the campfire, right? That's who he's talking to, just real you, real me. And he's a populist. But Bernie Sanders is also a populist. He's just a populist for a different group of people. Neither one would probably be epic, but one will slide you further away from that Constitution, while the other if Trump would just get in with both feet, but see, guys, he can't because he's really, this guy's not a Republican. What he is he's just that... Hey, I'm going to use some common sense, and I'm not going to use any sugar coating. I'm just going to tell you what it is. And there's dozens of percent of people that probably agree with everything he says. And then this guy's like, I'm going to tell you, if it comes down to Hillary and Trump, I don't sit home. and I ain't voting for Hillary. So you know where where my vote would go. But tough. It's a tough field. To me, it's just not enough of the meat and potatoes of what America should be. If you've noticed, as we've drifted further away from that Constitution toward that entitlement society, toward that Euro-socialist style approach to governing, this country is just—it's gotten weaker. It's gotten more involved where it shouldn't be. All kinds of just bad things are happening that have happened in the past and that we can see happening today. Look at what just happened in Greece. Look at what's going on in Italy. Look at what's going on in these places. I mean, their economies cannot handle it. They just can't handle it. And this economy, while it's huge, it can't handle all this kind of stuff. I mean, don't you think we got to take a little step back and just say, wait a minute, everybody. Let's look at what America was intended to be. It's the land of opportunity. It's not the land of guarantees, and that's my problem with Bernie.
Boy, how refreshing is that to hear that on a Sunday morning? I mean, I'm a big Constitution guy myself, and it breaks my heart that the United States gets more and more away from the Constitution. And I think you bring up a great point. I was having this conversation with my wife over the holidays, is that, if it's Hillary and Donald, I voted in every election that I could possibly ever vote in since I was 18, and it's a badge of honor for me. I'm not staying home either, and I'm certainly not voting for Hillary.
No.
Right.
And
what do we do?
And so, am I going to vote for Donald Trump? I mean, that's the $100 million question. And I think the answer would have to be yes, because I think you do bring up that great conversation.
Well, I think the thing about Donald Trump, he's certainly gotten all the media attention and a lot of negative press. And that's part of his plan, because he spent almost no money on media getting the word out.
A Christmas card from him yesterday.
Well, I got a one from Ben Carson, but Ben Carson spent almost all of his money on basically the campaign, and Donald Trump spent almost no money because he gets a dozen people calling him a day to come on my TV show, my radio show, and most of the other candidates have to call 12 people to get one to say yes.
Now, notice what's really cool about what you just said. It's just such a great point. The richest guy on that stage has spent the least amount of money, which has to tell you that the guy is a strategist. He's not an idiot. He's not a moron. He's smart enough to win. He's smart enough to go from being Donald Trump, shaking Hillary's hand, saying she'd be the best one an election or two cycles ago, to slamming the you-know-what out of her and rising in the polls doing so. So is he the smartest guy in politics? He may be. He really may be.
Well, I think the other part, Donald Trump, I think, would pick a good vice president. I think he'd pick a good cabinet, because, quite honestly, I think he's going to be a bit like Reagan. He's going to handle the strategic thinking and things like that, but he's going to listen to his advisors, to his cabinet.
the only thing that makes me nervous about that, guys, and this is probably the biggest reason, not his mouth. I don't really care about his mouth. And a lot of the things that he says do have to be said. Yeah, he can tone it down a little bit, but you know what? What gets me is that he talks about, and his supporters talk a lot about, how he's going to appoint these great people and how he's going to make these cabinets and these appointments and all that stuff. And they're going to have the best and the brightest, and we're going to be great again. And that's all well and good, but you're the one running. So if you're not going to throw specific ideas out there to me in a debate, not on a website where it's all crafted, but in a debate, what do you feel about tax rates? What do you feel about the Second Amendment beyond the soundbite? What do you there's no substance. If you're not going to give it to me, then I think he needs to roll his team out. I think he rolls out the team and says, this is your dream team. Vote for us. You want to do it, we'll do it. Maybe then he could bring in some of those Cruz type people, that kind of stuff, where he could get some legs on it. But I think just standing there saying, I'm going to build the best team, it's kind of like in business. They hire you to do a good job, to run their whatever it is that you're running for them. And you said you could do it. You didn't say that you were going to build the team. That's part of what you're going to tell them in your interview process. But you're the one that's going to do it. And these are my ideas, and this is what I think. I just think Trump's been a little short for a guy like me. Now, I'm very involved with politics, but I think a guy like me that's that involved, if I've got to dig a little bit to find out what he thinks the tax rate should be, then the guy next to me driving along here in traffic certainly may not, even take the time to dig that and might discount the guy. I think he's smart enough to win it. I don't think he'd be a disaster, but I think the Democrat side, I mean, what are they throwing up there? You know, they're throwing up a corrupt person beyond corruption, and they're throwing up a socialist. I mean, how do people have respect for the party? And to watch people line up behind them like there's a choice over there. I think this would have been the year for the big third party candidate. They just would have had to have already started from the very beginning. This would have been the year. This would have been the Ross Perot year if you had a real candidate and not Ross Perot. Yeah. It would have been the one guy.
Well, Webb threw his hat in the ring yesterday. Did you see that?
Good. Who's that?
Jim Webb from Virginia.
You know what? When I watched those debates back a few months ago, whatever it was, when I see Jim up there, I'm going to tell you something. He could never be elected. But
no.
What the man says, he's not bad either. You know what I mean? See, to me, it's not about what letter is next to your name. It's about what you think about America. And you know what? He was mentioning the Constitution to almost the eye rolls of the other people. And whenever I see that, whenever I see the establishment line up against something, it usually draws me toward it. Because let's just look at America. Has the establishment done a good job? I don't think so.
No, I couldn't agree with you more. Well, you know, Gary, we never have enough time here on All Politics is Local, but you know what? If you put your name on a ballot, I think I'm voting for you. Any guy who's a lover of the Constitution and is reasonable like you, you've got my vote for President of the United States. So thanks for joining us this morning on All Politics is Local.
Thank you guys for having me. I do have, I'll just take it all your time already. Tim, T-I-M, or O-R-G-A-R-Y, Gary, @gmail.com. I'll send you guys and anybody a link to our Facebook groups and pages, and we also have a program on called the Freedom Network, and we're out here fighting the fight. If you want to join, Tim or Gary @gmail.com.
There you
guys,
go. Thank you, Gary.
Kind.
Thank you.
Hey, and
you
go to allpoliticsislocalma.com, and you can learn more about us. You've been tuned to another edition of All Politics is Local. He's Terry Hendricks. I'm John Featherston. Happy early New Year.
And go Pats. They're playing at 1 o'clock in an hour.
Yeah, beat those Jets. You're tuned to WCRN 830, All Politics is Local.
Young boy down in the gutter, he was starting to foam in the heat.